Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on this podcast is Marcy Smolin, acting coach and co-founder of The Actors Circle. The Actors Circle is one of the top acting studios for film and television studies. They provide film and television workshops for actors of all ages and abilities in their Los Angeles studio. They provide weekly classes in film and TV technique, private coaching, taping for auditions, and semi-private and corporate specialty workshops. Their actors have gone on to win Emmys, Oscars, Tonys, and even a Grammy. Marcy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming over. You started as a child actor yourself.
I did.
And you were a series regular on two different shows. And you were a stand-up comedian
for many years.
Which I'm just dying to hear about. Maybe we'll get into that later. As well as a guest star on many, many shows. And why did you decide to focus on teaching?
I love teaching. It's my first love. Funny story, though, how it happened. My former partner at the Actors Circle, who I started the Actors Circle with, Kevin McDermott, was my coach when I was a kid, younger, and at another acting school. And I loved his way. And when he started his old studio, Center Stage LA, I followed him there, and he trained me to be a coach. And I would work with the young kids because I was only like 18 or 19 at the time. Then my career took off and I went on my way, and then I got in a very bad accident and I couldn't work. I couldn't walk. I was in a wheelchair. I was sitting home feeling sorry for myself, and I got a wrong number. I answered the phone. It was a wrong number, and I recognized the voice, and I went, "Kevin McDermott?" And he said, "Yes." I go, "This is Marcy Smolin." You know, we talked for a minute, and he goes, "You know, you were my favorite coach. I told him about the accident," and he said, "Have you ever thought about coaching?" And I go, "Well, I'm in a wheelchair. I can't walk." And he said, "You don't need to walk." And I went that night to his studio. I taught a class. It was like I was meant to be there. And the rest is history.
That is an amazing story. It really does make you feel like you have to just pay attention to the clues.
You really do. Sometimes the worst things can turn into the best forks in your road, because I really, really love what I do. You know, Kevin is retired. He closed his old studio. We opened the Actors Circle together, and then he retired many, many years ago. I've been on my own there for 8 years. 10 years. The Actors Circle has been in existence for 15 years.
Wow.
Which is weird because I'm only 23. But
good job.
I know. I told you I started young, Bonnie.
Oh, you know, I mean, we all look half of our age, so, you know, that's LA for you.
But I do. I love it there, and I love the studio because we've been in the same location. We've built it ourselves. I mean, I built some of the walls. And my students have gone on, and they've done other things, but they always know wherever they are. You never know who's going to walk in the door. I'll be in a class, and a former student will just walk in, and they'll just sit down. "Do you mind if I sit in? Do you mind?" And I love that they always have a home there.
That's a really special thing. That's actually a really rare thing. There's a lot of studios in LA, but probably not very many that fall into that category. You've worked with some incredibly successful actors, including, you know, among the long list, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Jessica Renee Williams, Ross Butler, Willa Holland, Wyatt Olive. What do you think explains your students' high rate of success?
Be good.
There you go. Okay, everybody out there, just be good.
But work hard.
Yeah.
Work hard. Work on your technique. Be a good actor. Everybody that on that list that you said are extremely devoted to getting good and getting better and working on a project and then going back to class and working on a project and growing in this way and learning and growing. We are in a time where social media is a deciding factor in who's being cast. Well, those people, if they don't have any technique to back up with, they're not going to go any further.
No, they're going to be one-hit wonders that nobody will even remember a few years down the road. Let's talk about that for a second. So there's a lot of anxiety around that right now. Mm-hmm. And what I've been seeing is that it's not typically so much that an actor or actress will get cast because of their social media following. It's more like if it's down to two people and everybody in the room is like, I don't know, toss a coin. They're both fabulous. They'd both be great. I don't know. And then one of them has a significantly bigger social media following, that person probably will get the role. Is that kind of how you see
that
it?
That is what's happening. I know that from a friend of mine is the head of production at a big company. And he, when he came in and took over that job, he was told that he had to have a certain amount of influencers in all of his shows. They do more kid-oriented programming. And, you know, he's also a director, and he was like, wow. I actually went in. I had to go in to work with a lot of the people that they ended up casting because they didn't know the first thing about being on a set. You know, just because you can push a computer key.
Yeah, just because you've got a bunch of Instagram followers doesn't mean you know how to know what you're doing on a set. Well, that's a thing. Well, I mean, anybody who's listening, I did do a podcast a little while ago with Heidi Dean, who does social media marketing for actors. So maybe listen to that if this is something that is like very foreign to you. And
listen, it is important.
Anxiety.
No matter what my feelings are about it, I do it myself.
Yeah,
I treat it as a game. I have one for the actor circle. I have a personal one. My personal one. I created a whole character, and
I follow you. It's fun.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe I'll list them both at the end.
I just decided to have fun with it. I was like, "This is the way it is," because I still do work in front of the camera, and I have to do this.
Yeah,
I didn't, and I was advised, you know, get that together. Boop, 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 boop. I know for a fact that whenever any of my students go in and meet with new representation, they look at it before they ever walk in the door.
Wow.
And even if they decide they're going to sign them, they give them, you have to be this, you have to do this, you have to get this many followers. There's a whole thing they have to follow.
There isn't a contract that I've ever seen that Doves had to sign that didn't have some stipulations around social media in terms of what had to be posted, when it had to be posted, what the requirements around that, and then just as much, like, what couldn't be, you know? So it's just the part of an actor's job these days.
That is something that I definitely talk about with my students.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be careful what you put up there.
You can take a photo that you feel strongly is just a photo of you in your trailer, but you're unaware that in the background you're catching something that's a reveal that people have spent maybe millions of dollars trying to keep the wraps on until the right day, and you've just revealed it. So, yeah, it's easy to be on the wrong side
of it. Or what people say on Twitter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Careful.
So, mindfulness is really
yes.
important. And again, like, don't let this freak you out, anybody who's listening, like, you know, again, these projects, these movies and these TV shows, nobody's going to throw away their years of work and amazing investment by casting someone who doesn't have the chops.
Right.
It's just that if it's down to a couple of people who've got the chops, it's the social media that may make the deciding factor.
And also, it's a factor in building your career. I said the most important thing is to be good. It's not the only thing.
Yep.
It's not. If that were the only thing, everybody that we know and love who's brilliant would be doing well. But some people don't do the other things. And there are other factors that go into it.
It's all important. Well, let's move into some of those factors. Your school teaches five areas of concentration in your ongoing curriculum. You teach scene study, cold reading, interview technique, improv, and character development. Could you break down the basics of those and explain why they're important?
Sure. Scene study, it goes back to what I said, being good. You need to know what to do with the script when you get it, how to break it down. Backstory, character development, your relationship. You need to do all of that, and you need to know how to spend time with the script and spend time with the character and spend time with the relationship and take it to the next level. But on the flip side of that, cold reading, where I will give my students a script and they have, you know, 10 minutes with it, you also know how to do that, because you're not going to get to the point where you're filming unless you can walk in the door and do a cold reading.
Yep.
And do it well.
And there are techniques?
Yes. And different techniques for different people.
Mm.
I don't have one cold reading technique, because we are all different. Everybody's different. Some people are naturally great cold readers. some people need help with certain ways of handling the script and all of that. There's, you know, everybody's different. So scene study, cold reading,
interview technique.
Well, you're not going to get to the point where they're going to pay attention to your cold reading unless they've decided they like you.
Yep.
So you need to walk in the door. You need to know what to do from the second you walk in the door. You need to know how to make connection and eye contact and be interesting.
You know, an audition is an interview, and people don't really put that all together all the time.
No, it's true. There's actors who really feel that they just want to get to the script. Mm-hmm. They just want to get through that part. Like, let me show you what I have. Mm-hmm. And that's all that should matter. But it's not all that matters.
It isn't. Who you are as a person actually matters. Because it's a human endeavor. And it's a true co-creation. Whether it's TV or film, it's a co-creation. And you got to know that the people you're co-creating with are going to be pleasant characters.
you want to spend time with.
Right. They're not going to be
especially tough. During pilot season.
Mm, exactly.
When you're meeting an actor, and they're also looking at the actor thinking, do I want to work with them in 5 years from now, day in and day out?
Yeah.
Will they not disappoint me? Will they be pleasant? Will they be fun?
Will they be reliable? Will they be
will
high
they
maintenance?
Show up?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right. And you know what? Someone that walks in the door and is like, I just want to get to my script. That screams high maintenance. Right there, that's a red flag.
It's about me and my needs.
Yeah, exactly. Me.
So that's good. Interview technique. Everybody could probably use some of that. Improv and character development?
Character development goes hand in hand with scene study, but we take it, you know, a step further. There's times people spend a lot of time with the same character. You, as an actor, you want to be different and original and make strong choices with characters and bring characters that rich and full of life and that people fall in love with. And you have to spend time with them.
I'm going to ask you a question that is, on the surface, an obnoxious question.
Okay.
But I'm going to do it because I moved to do it and I hope you don't mind. I hear a lot of make strong choices in the industry. I hear it come out of my own child's mouth. It's like, make
yes.
strong choices. And I instinctively feel like I know what that means. But could you spell that out for the people out there who are like, what the heck does she mean by that, make strong choices? How do I do that?
That's a great question. I love that question.
It's a little
I'd love
obnoxious.
To talk about that. No, it's not at all. You get a breakdown for an audition, as you know. You've seen a million of them, and they tell you, sometimes they just tell you, you know, very perfunctory things, you know, girl, 15 to 18, blonde, sunny disposition, you know, like that. Well, okay, why does she have a sunny disposition? Is she a cheerleader? Is she somebody who reads a lot and is very soulful? There's a lot of different choices that you can make. You don't want to go with just the obvious. And you don't want to go with just take everything at face value. But on the other side of that, where people run into a problem, make a strong choice. But don't make a stupid choice.
Don't be a wackadoo.
Yeah. Don't come in if someone that, you know, a character is described as having a sunny disposition. Don't come in dressed all goth, you know, with piercings. Because that, you know. That's just not smart.
No, you're just wasting everybody's time if you do that. That's good. Thank you for spelling that out a little bit better than most people do. Is there a basic philosophy that underlies the teachings at the Actors Circle, would you say?
Well, going back, I want to go back to improv.
Yeah.
Improv is really strong.
Oh, we skipped on improv.
No, that's okay, but
it will
actually go back to sort of my basic philosophy. I'm very big on improv. Improv is really important. Having a strong improv background is a must. I love improv. We do bonus improv things at the improv at the studio all the time. We have improv jams once a month where everybody, past and present, comes down and just for hours we just improv.
Have fun.
When there are many casting directors, many directors out there who work improvisationally in their auditions. There are times when you can walk in and they're just not going to use the script at all. There are many big films. I know that students of mine have been casting where they didn't see a script until they showed up. There's big directors out there who don't like to, writer directors who don't like to release their material. So, and a lot of times people want to see how directable you are.
And sometimes they will deliberately set up scenes and direct the actors to improv and run and see how it goes. I've seen that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to be the actor who freezes.
He goes, you know.
I need lines.
I have people come in sometimes and they're like, well, I don't really like improv. I just want to focus on scene study and cold reading. And I'm like, well, you're not in the right place because we're going to do all of that. You will improv here.
It sounds like a place where you could really develop those skills.
I would hope so.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, every casting director I think I have ever talked to, that is one of the first things out of their mouth is the importance of at least a comfort level with improv, if not like, you know, considerable skills.
Yeah, they look on actors' resumes to mm-hmm. see what their improv background is. It's important that people have an improv background.
Getting
you in the door, having that on your resume, but then also being able to deliver. Don't lie and say you studied at the Groundlings and then come in and not be able to improvise. That's bad.
Thank you for saying that. It doesn't get said enough, and it's really hard to understand if you're not in Los Angeles and really in this, but literally everybody knows everybody at a certain level, and you just can't lie about anything.
No.
Because if you say you were in a particular show, chances are they know the person who cast it or directed it or wrote it or something. It's like they're going to ask you about it. And then,
well, there's people who lie and put my name on the resume that they've studied with me. And then they may go in and they're reading for somebody that, you know, I have a cousin who's a producer, you know, they're reading for, oh, that's my cousin. Wait, let me call her. Bloop, they'll call me. And I remember everybody.
Yeah.
I remember everybody. And if I don't remember them, they're all on my computer. So I will double check before I say, I have no idea who that is, but I remember everybody. And so that right there, you know.
Be true.
Yes. My basic philosophy at the studio is that everybody is different. Everybody, every actor comes from a different place. You know, we don't all cold read the same. We don't all have the same skills. Some of us are stronger in some areas than others. There's no formula for being a good actor. That's why I teach a lot of different techniques and then some of my own, introduce people to everything, because no one technique is the be-all and end-all for every actor. Everybody responds differently. And I always say to my students, try everything that we do. Figure out what works best for you and put that into your bag of tricks, you know?
And if it doesn't work for you, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Just try.
Because it's not one size fits all. I love that. That makes so much sense to me. And I also love that you teach students of every age and ability. That is really cool. So how does the Actors Circle segment those students age-wise? Because obviously you don't have 5-year-olds working with 18-year-olds,
no.
Probably.
The kids' classes are separated by age.
Okay.
So we have the younger class, we have tween class, we have teen class. The adults from 18 on, they're all together. We have a lot of adults at the studio. A lot of my students grew up and didn't want to go somewhere else, so that's how that started.
That's nice.
I'm like, leave the nest. It's okay.
No.
So, I love it. I have students at the studio who've been there from the beginning. Because they'll go, they'll work on a project, they'll come back, they'll, you know. And all abilities. Of course, I love working with amazing actors, but also, Bonnie, there is nothing like seeing the light go on in someone's eyes and watching them fall in love with acting. I'm gonna cry. Watching them fall in love with acting, it's one of my favorite things. And also, it's okay to take acting class if you're not an actor, because it helps with so many other things.
I'm such a fan of that. I have felt all my life that acting classes are probably a good idea for anybody,
because
mm-hmm. they do so many good things for people, regardless of what you end up doing.
I have a guy in my class on Monday night who's an ER nurse.
Wow.
And he works 12-hour shifts, and he said, you know, he was finding that he would come home and he would see things, and he needed an outlet. And he took my class, and after a couple months, I said to him, I hate to break this to you, but you're a really good actor. And now he's actually has an agent. I broke him. I broke this wonderful nurse. No, actually, nursing is actually a good actor job because he works at night and he goes on auditions during the day, but I feel a little bad about that.
That's funny. That's really
He's really
funny.
Good.
Well, and the truth is, you know, different abilities is neat because we can all learn something from anybody. And if everybody's like in a beginner's class together, it's like, you know, it's nice to, if you see somebody in front of you doing really fine work, you can speed up your process.
And on the flip side of it, it's really good for the actors who've been doing it a long time because you don't always work with someone on your level.
Oh, God. Good point.
You need to know how to make that work.
If you're on a set, it's not necessarily true, and it may well not be true that you're on a set acting opposite somebody who's got the same level of ability you do.
Very often that doesn't happen. So you have to know how to make that work. You have to know how to bring that other person up and work together and not be an idiot about it.
Yeah, well, you have to make your partner look good. Mm-hmm. So, in addition to your extensive experience as a professional actor, you have a bachelor's degree in theater arts mm-hmm. and a master's in screenwriting.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about the pros and cons of going to university for acting training versus going straight to a more sort of a la carte approach? Like, in other words, skipping the university path. Because there's those two different kind of like, A or B, what do I do? I'm 18. Do I just go straight to the thing or do I take four more years?
It's, you know,
it's a tough decision.
I did get my degree in theater arts because, you know, back then, 5 years ago, that's what everybody did. But then I realized that college, and college theater does not definitely prepare you. It's fun. It's great. I loved college. My suggestion is I never tell people don't go to college. Mm-hmm. I think college is really important. Study something else.
That's
and
interesting.
Take acting classes. I don't think a degree in theater is necessary. And a degree in theater will not really get you in the door anywhere. But if you have a degree in something else, you're a really interesting person.
Yeah, I find myself just like, I will also never tell anybody what to do. And, you know, I'm a big believer in education, having spent a lot of years of my own life pursuing one. I think it really varies from person to person. But definitely getting a degree in theater and spending all that money doesn't guarantee you anything.
You will learn great things. I loved every minute of my college experience. I love college theater programs. When I talk about being good, you know, there are things that you will do in college theater that you don't do, you know, in classes in Los Angeles or New York. Are they necessarily things that are going to help you on film and television? Probably not. As a matter of fact, I have to spend time undoing things sometimes because if you want to be I feel terrible saying this. Some people get mad, but it's just true. If you want to be an actor in regional theater all of your life, and what a great life that is, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I love theater. Get your degree in theater. And that's all amazing. If you want to work in film and television, probably a college theater department would not be the route to go.
That's actually a really interesting distinction that I haven't really held before, and that makes some sense to me, because you want to do theater, a four-year
which
degree
is
might,
which awesome.
Is, oh God.
I love theater. I love
theater. We all
theater.
Love theater. I just got back from the Ashland Shakespeare
Festival.
Oh,
the best, oh my gosh, amazing.
It was so good. Anybody out there who loves theater, I cannot recommend the Shakespeare Festival in Ashland highly enough. It was a glorious 5 days that I spent with some friends. And it's not just Shakespeare. I mean, it's awesome, amazing Shakespeare, like you've probably never seen it. But there's also all these cutting-edge new works that are produced there. And it's just the most inspiring, great theater.
One of my former students who was with me for years, he is so talented. And one day he came to me and he said, I don't like working in film. And he lives in Indiana, and he started a huge theater festival there, which has really taken off. And he and his wife make a living doing that. They have a life in the theater. And he is one of the happiest people I know. I'm jealous of him. Yeah. He's one of the happiest people I know. So if that's a great life, it's just you, you know, like I said, for film and television, for myself, for example, I was lucky enough to have somebody in the audience of a play that I was in college. And the day after I graduated college, I was on a film set.
Wow.
But I had, I know I was, again, I've had lucky moments in my life, but I remember that my first, after 4 years of college theater, my first line that I spoke on that set was so loud. And I was lucky enough to be working with Martin Landau.
Oh my God.
In a scene. And he said, "Oh dear, come here."
You are not on the stage and you don't need to project.
Yeah. He gave me several pieces of advice. And he gave me actually a great piece of advice that I share with my students all the time about finding your light. He said, "Whenever you're on a set, close your eyes, look up, and make sure your face is in the sun. Because if it is, you will have much less of a chance of ending up on the cutting room floor." And I swear to you, to this day, I always close my eyes. And it's a great tip.
That's good. That's good. Everybody file that one away. So we've been talking about theater, and I want to talk a little more about it. A lot of young actors fall in love with theater first before moving into TV and film, and they cut their teeth on theater because those opportunities are more readily available outside of LA. You know, they just are. What do you think are some of the biggest differences between theater versus film and TV, and what are some similarities?
Things that I have to work on immediately when someone comes to the studio from somewhere else and they've done a lot of theater, I can say to them immediately, "Ah, you've done a lot of theater." They will do their first scene in class, and they will project out to the audience, and I go, "You're on a film set now." The lighting... No, you've never been to the studio.
No.
It's lit like a film set, and I block the scenes, like film scenes, so, you know, if your back is to somebody, it's okay because they're picking you up somewhere else, and, you know, learning how to do that kind of thing. And so theater actors will project too much. They will look out to the audience. They will cheat out. It's a podcast. You can't see what I'm doing.
No.
Bonnie can see what I'm doing. I'm cheating out.
She's cheating out right now, everybody, on my couch. But it's true. I mean, in that training, it gets into your bones. Your body feels that it's doing the right thing. It is doing the right thing if you're on a stage set.
Sure.
But
and on film, you have to remember that the camera picks up everything. It picks up nuance. So a lot of the things that you would do to play out to the back of the house on camera will look crazy. It's too much. It'll look like mugging. And it's really hard for theater actors a lot of times when they're training in film because they don't think they're doing enough. And they think they're being dead and boring. And basically what you're doing on film is you're creating life.
Mm. Yeah.
And you have a job. You have one job. You want people to believe you. And you do that by being a believable human being. You don't have to be bigger than life. You don't have to cheat out. You don't have to do any of those things.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I always love some of my favorite actors are the ones who, when the camera runs across their face, you feel like you can read their thoughts just by looking at their eyes, by seeing something flicker across their eyes. It's like, it's so yummy. I want to talk to you about auditioning, because auditioning, and we've been talking about interviewing too. It's truly its own skill set, and it's obviously a critical one if an actor is going to actually succeed in the business. What advice do you have for young actors who are approaching an audition?
Well, you know, it's in the last 5 years, things have changed so much because so many auditions are taped now. So many.
Even if you're in L.A. or New York?
Even if you're in L.A. or New York.
Yep.
I spend a lot of time during the day, people coming in, and I'm, you know, taping their auditions for them. And there's different things that are expected of you on a taped audition than an in-person audition. When you're going to an audition in person, be prepared. Don't count on just getting the sides there and going outside and going, "I got this." Do whatever you can to have the sides. Get them at least 24 hours in advance. If you are doing a union project, they have to provide them. If you are new and you're working off of Actors Access and LA Casting and you're going for student films and indie films and web series and things like that, you don't always get as much time with the material. So if they haven't provided the material, get there an hour early. Grab the material. Don't sign in. Go somewhere.
Oh,
sit in your car.
That's,
you know,
good advice.
Give yourself time with the material. Really know it. And work on it out loud. Don't work on it in your head. Things sound different in your head than they do out loud. You don't want to ever walk into a room having the first time you've uttered those words be in there. Because you know how it is when you're reading something and then you say it out loud and you're like, ooh, my voice sounds funny. What is that?
Yeah,
that sounded so different in my head.
Your mouth handles the words differently than your brain does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's reading words and speaking words.
Yep. And then I was like, I didn't ask about pronunciation on this one and I didn't look it up either. You know, there's always something you can do if there's a word you're not sure
yeah.
about.
Yeah. And also, the more you say something out loud, the more you find the nuances. Rehearsal's important. Very important. Don't sign in until you're ready to go in the room. Sometimes people will come and they'll sign in and then get material if there's a material provided, or they'll go in and they'll look around and they're like, ooh, okay, maybe I need a little more time with this. You know, suss out the situation. In the waiting room, you asked me one of my favorite questions, tell me to be quiet.
I'm loving this. I'm loving this. No, we can never have too much of this kind of advice.
I always tell people this. You have enough friends. Do not make them in the waiting room.
Please, everybody out there, take this to heart. Please.
There are very nice people in the industry, and there are some that are not nice, and there are people that are really good at psyching you out.
And they will be in the waiting room.
And they will say things like, oh, it's so good to see you. God, I've had like 15 auditions this week. I love this casting director. I was at dinner at her house last night. She brings me in for everything. Blah, 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 blah. You know, most of it's not true. But it takes nothing when you're nervous about an audition to have your insides go, If you can hear the people auditioning in the other room, don't let it change your choices. Don't make choices based upon things you might overhear. They might be laughing. It doesn't mean they're like, it doesn't mean it's the right way. You don't know why people are laughing in the room. Mm-hmm. You don't know, so stick with your choices. And going back to what we were talking about before, when you go in the room, make eye contact. Be a nice person. Be interesting. When they ask you questions about yourself, don't answer with one word. Always find things to talk about. And have it not be acting.
That's nice. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you are a whole human, not
right.
just...
Right. And yeah, that's a big mistake a lot of people make. They'll come in and the casting director will say to them, tell me something about yourself. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love acting. Act alone in my bedroom. I wanted to be an actress when I was 5. Well, how many times have they heard that story? Everybody in the waiting room is an actor because you're there auditioning.
Yeah.
But if you talk about something really interesting, you do. I just climbed a mountain. Oh, really? Where? I just got back from this. I'm taking a tap dancing class. Isn't that weird? I mean, whatever, you know, think about things that people might want to talk to you about.
Give them a little dimensionality.
Yes. Be interesting. Mm-hmm. Be good and be interesting.
But authentic. Don't make something up.
Yeah. And don't lie. Yeah.
Don't lie. So any special advice for audition self-tapes? We just touched on that.
Yes.
It is such an important skill at this point. And as we mentioned, even if you're in the major markets, they will do the first round of auditions more and more with self-tapes. So if you're not good at that, even though you might be blocks away from the casting office, you'll never get in there because you need to make the first cut. So how can people do better self-tapes?
Okay. There are things that people think are important that are not, and there are things that are really important that people will let go of. I actually have a little side. We do a lot of audition taping at the studio just because I was so sick of seeing people's bad audition tape. You don't have to spend a lot of money on an audition tape. As a matter of fact, sometimes that will be annoying. You know, if directors and producers are looking through a bunch of tapes, they don't need to see fancy titles. This is blah, you know, with, you know, flashes of your headshot and musical effects and all of this.
Crossfades.
Again, I'm going to go back to my theme. Be good. It has to be well lit. It has to have good sound. You can do it in your bedroom if you have good lighting, but you have to have good lighting, good sound, plain background, and the person reading with you should speak in a whisper.
Yes.
That's all.
Just enough for you to hear because they're not auditioning.
And I really, I'm sorry for all the self-tape studios around here, which I think is great. And I would definitely call one in an emergency if I had no one to tape me. But I always encourage actors to, like, get a group of friends that you can get each other's backs, because you're going to have to do so many of them and you're going to go broke. So, but there are also great self-tape places that, in case of emergency, you know, you don't want to send in a tape that you've done in your car, you know, with traffic and while you're driving on the freeway. Although I will tell you, and this goes against everything that I said, my mother's ill right now, and I'm so sorry about that. And I have myself booked out. I'm not auditioning or doing anything. But something came up, and my manager begged me to please do it. But I was with my mother. She was having a treatment. So I did do a self, had a friend come down, and I did self-tape in the bathroom there. Great acoustics.
There's always some sort of
really
lining.
Good color wall.
Oh my gosh.
He was good and he read quietly and I got the job. So I will always laugh about that.
Bathroom. Oh my God.
But it did have all the components and I would not have sent it in if it didn't. You know?
Good lighting.
Actually, bathrooms have great acoustics.
They do.
They have great acoustics.
Just watch what's in the background.
Yeah. Don't film the toilet. You know, what you're saying is true about backgrounds for, we were talking about that earlier with social media, mm-hmm. with self-tape too. I've seen some self-tapes and I'm like, parents will send them to me. Can you look at this? And I'm like, why do I see you filming them in the mirror behind mm-hmm. them? Mm-hmm. Why? You know, and sometimes people will build an elaborate set in their house and it's too much, or it's a sheet that's rippling, or, you know. A plain wall is fine. Mm-hmm. Just, if you're going to invest in anything, invest in some good lighting. Cheaply on Amazon, you can do it for under $100. You really can. You can set up your self-taping studio. And a tripod.
Mm-hmm.
Not a wobbly hand. Tripod, lighting, sound.
Tripods are so important because not only does that save you from being the next, like, Blair Witch Project and making everybody ill if they watch your thing with the motion, but it frees up the hands of the person
that
you're reading with, so that they can then turn the pages of the sides. And
right.
It's just a good idea, and you can get little tiny adapters for cell phones, and that will allow them to fit onto a standard tripod, or you can get the little cute baby sort of desktop tripods.
Or I love the ones that bend.
I love those
too. The Gorilla
too.
Tripods, they're great.
And they'll like grab things that can go around. I mean, they're just fantastic.
Well, the other thing that you should have is if you're going to tape on your phone, which I actually love iPhone self-tapes. When I tape people, I have cameras. I often will use, if they're in a hurry, I'll use their phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they can okay. just upload it to EcoCast right there and then. We go over it. I'll edit it for them. Have iMovie on your phone if you have an iPhone. Have iMovie so you can put everything together nicely. Another thing, though, is if you can't find anyone to self-tape with you, there's a remote control that you can buy for your... I have it in my purse right now.
I just about knocked over my water in excitement. You guys hear that?
There's a remote control, and I do this for people all the time. I make all my students buy them. It's like $10 on Amazon. It's a little remote control that works with an iPhone or an Android. You put it on a tripod. You put your camera on a tripod, tape yourself, have a friend call you, and have them read with you over the phone, or set up a computer if you need to see their face. You can Skype in with them, put them under the camera. And I actually like it personally because I like to, it's like selfies. And they look fine.
That's brilliant.
$10. Because you don't want to go broke auditioning. I coach people for auditions too. And sometimes someone will call me for coaching. And it's a 3-line part. And I will say to them, let's just talk about it. Save your money for when it's something really chunky. You're driving Uber. You're waiting tables. Let's just talk about it.
Yep.
Let's just talk about what you want to do. Let's talk about your choices. And I'll spend time. I'm not going to charge them for that.
You don't need coaching for every single audition.
No.
You just don't.
Nope.
You know, some auditions are they carry more freight than others.
Yeah, exactly. And some you're crazy if you don't coach for.
Yeah, some you just like, yeah,
you need missing, to coach for, yeah.
Yeah, missing a big opportunity if you don't. So let's talk about pilot season for a minute. A lot of anxiety about it in general for actors. Thousands and thousands of actors come out to LA every year between January and March or April. But more and more shows are being cast year-round. And then never mind the fact that movies are cast year-round anyway. What are your thoughts about pilot season
currently?
Well,
pilot season has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started the studio, there was the Oakwood apartment was full of people coming from January to April. And I could, you know, for the studio, it was always, I always had to add classes during pilot season. I don't think people do that anymore as much because everything is being cast year-round. One of the things during pilot season that always sort of broke my heart a little bit was people thinking they were going to come out here from January to April and that would be it. Sure, it happens for some people. But if you're going to commit to being an actor and you want to be here in LA, be here in LA.
You got to give it more than a 2 or 3 month shot. You got to.
It takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is possible, as you know, it is possible to be cast from other places. It is possible. There are tapes. There are talent searches. There are all, you know, there are casting directors who will, Disney and Nick, they're great about that. They will cast a wide net. But bottom line, if you really want a career, you'd be in LA or be in New York. You know, you just have to give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. At a certain point, definitely. You've inevitably dealt with a lot of parents.
Yes.
Through your work coaching young actors. Do you have any advice for parents who are just trying to help their young actors succeed in this business?
By the way, I just have to say this. I think stage parents get a bad rap.
I do too.
And I think that 95% of the parents I've worked with are some of my favorite people on this planet who love their children and have children who have expressed an interest. And they have said to me, you know, my kid wants to do this. Let's see how it goes.
Yep.
And they'll take all the right steps. Then there are the few.
Probably 5%.
Who are trying to live out their dream through their kids and make their kids do things they don't want to do. That is much more rare, mm-hmm. I think, than, you know, I think the stage parents get a very bad rap, and I...
Mm-hmm.
If your child expressed an interest in acting, the first thing you should do is get them training. If someone comes up to you in a mall,
my favorite,
not to disrespect the acting studios that use talent scouts and pretending that they are casting them in a Disney show, but it's not a very nice thing to do to people.
It's not cool.
It's not cool at all.
No.
So if someone comes up to you in a mall and says your child is, you know, going to be a star, say thank you for that advice. Now let me go get them a good acting class. It is very rare that someone gets their first audition without any training and it happens from a mall, you know. So if your child wants to be an actor, the first thing to do is get them into class.
Mm-hmm. A good class, do some research. Yeah. Do your due diligence.
Yeah, exactly. If they want to work in film and television, get them into film and television class.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they've been in class for a while, there's no hurry. Acting class is good for children anyway. It's good for children for developing social skills and focus and all kinds of things. If they never work as an actor, acting class is still good for kids. Start slow. Walk before you run. Don't run before you walk. Actors Access, LA Casting, Casting Frontier,
Backstage.
Student films.
Yep.
Start with student films. Because no matter how much you take an audition class, every audition is different. Let them have some experience auditioning. You don't want their first auditions, and for grown-up actors too, I sell this to everybody, you don't want your first audition to be for Spielberg, you know? Have it be for someone doing his thesis film, or, you know, and then the other thing about doing student films is you start to build up a reel.
Talk about auditioning for student films a little bit.
Student films are great. I'm a big believer in them for many reasons. Like I said, you don't want your first audition to be for Spielberg. You want to go in and get your audition skills sharp in a real-time thing. A lot of times, students don't know how to audition people, so you really have to rally and you really... excuse me. You know, that's where all that will come in handy.
It's good practice.
And then, yes, I'm going to drink water now. And the other thing is, student films are a great way to build a body of work. Because for your reel, you really want things that someone else has filmed with other actors. A lot of people are under the misconception now that their reel should, you know, it's okay to have something they filmed in an acting class, or they've gone into a studio and they're doing a monologue. And really, a reel is showing a body of work.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion about this one. And you know, I suppose if that's all you got...
If it's all you got, exactly.
Better than nothing for sure.
Absolutely, I agree.
You know, a headshot will show what a headshot will show, but then, you know, how you show up on film is different. But it isn't the same, and it isn't a substitute for actual authentic work.
And then the more you work with people, different people, just work begets work, even with student films. Work begets work. The more you're working, the more you're in that actor mindset, and you go into other auditions, and you've been working, and it's just different.
Well, it's so true, and actually that's a phrase that I repeat a lot myself, work begets work. And it's true, I think, in all of life, but I think it's particularly true for actors because, you know, once you work with somebody, if it's a good experience for everybody, if it's a good experience that people might want to repeat, then you've got a whole network of people who think about you when something comes up, whether it's, you know, the casting director or the producers,
right,
or the producer's wife who knows somebody who's producing something else. And that network can become very exponential really quickly. And if somebody has worked with you and you've delivered great work and you were a joy to work with, it's like, who wouldn't want to work with you again? You know? So a lot of stuff comes out of that.
USC.
Wow. Garbage trucks.
Yay, garbage trucks.
Los Angeles. I may not cut this out.
I like atmosphere. It's awesome.
It's authentic.
I feel like we're standing in a New York street. Maybe.
We are in the North Hollywood Arts District, and you are hearing authentic North Hollywood Arts District garbage trucks.
Maybe that's the recycling truck, which would be even more Hollywood.
It probably was the recycling truck, back and forth.
Now I've lost my train of thought as to where we were. Oh, USC, for example, they have an amazing alumni association. And when they do their student film festivals, you do not know who's going to be in the audience there. I know from experience, I know students of mine did a student film and they got a call. Hey, I saw you in blah, 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 student film. I'd like you to come in for this.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and there's so many opportunities now. You know, there's web series, there's indie films, there's all kinds of things that you can do now. All kinds of ways to build your body of work. You can be very busy as an actor.
Well, and to me, it's always two things when we talk about body of work. There's the real work, which transforms you in the doing of it. It makes you a better actor, hopefully. It literally builds your experience and your capabilities, mm-hmm, so that on the other side of it, you're better. But it's also, yes, another thing for your resume. And they're, mm-hmm, both important.
Yeah, I had a young guy start my class, in my adult class. He's 19, so not really an adult, but... and he was new here from Boston. And he decided to go to acting class instead of go to college. And his parents weren't supporting. It was very sweet. And he said, but here's the thing. I only want to do the work I want to do. And I went, mm-hmm.
Good luck with that.
And he's never studied acting in his life. And, you know, he was a beginner. And he said, so I'm going on Actors Access and I'm writing notes to the directors. Like, if I think that they haven't described the characters enough, and I'm asking them if I can meet for... I didn't know him yet when he told me this. I don't think he'd do it now, because I pretty much set him straight, but... And he goes, well, he started telling me... I said to him, who are some of your favorite actors? And he started telling me, and he goes, I bet they never did anything, and I would go on IMDb and say, you know, this was what they did as a teenager. You want to do some bad things. That's your life story.
You can learn a lot by doing projects that, you know, are not your dream projects. And sure. And I really do really recommend that anybody who thinks they might want a career in this industry, and any parents whose children think that they might, and any children out there who know how to access the internet safely, go on to IMDb and go onto those pages of actors that you admire who have careers that you would love, love, love to call your own. And you go all the way down their body of work, and it's chronological, and you see what's literally at the bottom. And it's generally like, you know, spear holder number four
right,
in some forgettable,
okay.
terrible B movie. You know, and it's okay because everybody gets their start somewhere, and you can't hold out and say, well, I'm not going to get my start until I'm working for Spielberg or whatever.
Oh, God, it's just not realistic. And also not, it's, you know what, some of the things I worked on in the beginning, I wouldn't take back those memories for anything, or the things I learned on the set from watching. Or, you know, that movie that I did where I got advice from Martin Landau. I didn't have a huge part in that movie by any means, you know, I had like two scenes, but... I loved every minute of it. You never know what's going to happen to you on a set.
You don't. And what relationships you're going to forge and where those will lead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, lifelong friendships for sure, which is important from a quality of life standpoint, but also like important professional contacts. You know, if you become a fan of someone and they become a fan of you just because of what you brought to that, you know, tiny, tiny role, the 2 days that you filmed in the whole movie, years later. That can bear fruit. You just don't know. So
there are
things,
though, that I do think that people shouldn't do.
Oh, let's talk about those.
Yes. things that will come back to haunt you.
Let's mention some of those things.
One of my students recently got a script, and it was a child. And she was like 12. And she, you know... in her scene, there was not a lot of sexual activity, but the rest of the film, there was so much. It was like disgusting. The script was, I'm not a prude, but it was disgusting. And I said to her parents, really? And it was like a, you know, indie, no money, non-union. That comes back to haunt you, those kind of things. Nudity, I know, we're talking more about child actors, but I obviously, there's protection in place for them, but once they turn 18, I'm like, you need to be so careful about that.
I'm so happy you brought this up because truly, truly, the flip side of everything we were just saying a minute ago, like, you know, don't be afraid to do the weird little projects. The flip side is, for goodness sake, use your judgment and trust your gut. And if something seems funky, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what? There is always another audition. There is always another project. You don't have to do everything that comes your way. Use your brain.
And also for safety purposes. It's great that we have all these resources on the internet from which to get auditions. Use the reputable ones. Use Actors Access, LA Casting, Casting Frontier, Backstage, Cast It.
Use the real ones. Don't use Craigslist.
Oh,
let's just say it.
Don't use Craigslist. There is nobody. No. Yeah. Do not audition off of Craigslist.
Nobody legit is casting off of Craigslist ever. Just gonna say it.
And then, to take it a step further, don't audition in people's houses.
Good.
Unless it's a really well-known, and even, I mean, there is not a reason to hold auditions in your home.
No, it is not in any way ever standard, ever, ever, to have an audition in a hotel room or in a house. Just... If you end up showing up at one of the places, because that's the address it turns out to be, and you know it's already non-union or something, it's like, just turn around. Don't go in.
And if you have representation, call your representation, have them follow up on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what they're there for.
The other piece to this is, and I talk to parents about this regularly, when you see the sides, when you see a breakdown, when you see a treatment, something that gives you information about the project, you probably aren't going to get the script, guess what? At least not at the get-go. If it crosses lines for you in terms of your own personal comfort zones and integrity, don't do it. And if you have representation, let them know ahead of time what kind of material you're not comfortable with so they don't send you out for those projects.
Yes.
And you don't, like, mess with your relationship with them. Because they're like, well, what do you mean? I worked so hard to get you this audition. And then you're like, yeah, but I'm not comfortable with that kind of language in a script. Well, they didn't know that if you didn't tell them. You know, it's really important to stay inside the bounds of your own integrity. But again, if you've got reps, you need to let them know what the bounds are so you can work as a team.
It's okay to have boundaries.
Yes.
It's okay. I have boundaries.
Healthy.
I have... don't go to an audition that tests your boundaries, get the job, and then not take it, though.
Oh, right?
If you don't want to do the job, don't go to the audition. Don't waste people's time using that audition or thinking you're going to show up and they're going to say, oh, okay, you can wear clothes. You know? Oh, you don't have to smoke. Oh, we'll change that word to oh fudge. You know, it's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen. There's a lot of actors in this town
who are going to be cool with all of those things.
So just, if it's okay to have boundaries, it's okay to not want to do that, but don't go to the audition.
Yeah, that is a great, great point. Any other don'ts while we're on that subject? Those are all great ones.
For auditioning?
Yeah.
There's a lot of don'ts.
So many. How much time do we have?
Don't walk into the room and if you've been having a bad day or having personal trauma or anything like that, don't share it. No, I mean, I'm sure they're very nice people. Everybody's very nice people, but there's a lot of actors coming in. That's all they're going to see. Don't go when you're sick. Don't go. If you go to an audition and you get someone sick, yeah, they're never calling you in again. You have burned that bridge. It's not nice.
No.
It's not nice. It's not nice to do that. If you have a cold, sorry. I'm sorry you have a cold. We've all gotten a cold, but the nice thing to do is not go into a room full of actors and then shake hands. When you walk in the door, this always surprises people when I say it, but it really is a good piece of advice. I swear. Don't shake someone's hand unless they offer it first.
Yeah. Yep. I have heard a number of casting directors say that. And if you think about it, it makes sense
because they see so many people.
And I mean, think about what you're doing to them. It's just not nice, you know, and it seems nice and it's counterintuitive, but boundaries.
Don't wear, and I feel bad saying this because I'm actually wearing perfume today.
We're good.
It's on my scarf. I feel really bad when I walked in. I realized. Don't wear perfume.
Yeah, people have chemical sensitivities.
Oh, they do, and they want you out of the room. I have a girl in my Monday night class who wears 2-inch perfume, and I have told her, and she's gotten really angry at me, and she continues to do it, and I can't breathe around her. It's so bad. And, yeah. So that's rough.
Yeah, and if you were casting her, you wouldn't cast her.
No, I'd want them. They want you out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one.
Those are good ones.
Have good hygiene.
Yeah.
Even if the part calls for, if you're playing a bad person, if you're playing a bum, it's okay to, you know, look messy and rumpled and all that. But don't go so messy that you don't shower for 5 days. I know people who've done this. And you're going to stink up the trailer and their office and they'll have to all stand outside and have somebody come in and spray it down. You know, there again.
Do brush your teeth.
Yeah. Have good hygiene.
All good advice. Some of it seems like it should be obvious, but, you know, we've all seen people coming from a good place feel like they don't need to do that or it's important that they don't. So
right.
That's all very helpful. Thank you. What about the kids themselves? We're talking about, you know, things you would share with parents to help them. What would you tell, say, I don't know, a 12-year-old or a teenager, you know, who lives far away from LA or New York and that this is their dream? You know, what advice would you have on some of the best ways for them to move toward that dream where they are now?
Wherever they are,
mm-hmm,
be in acting class. You know, go back to that again. You don't want to act from audition to audition. Do any kind of theater you can. And also, any town pretty much has a college that's making student films.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say to me, well, there's nowhere to do, you know, make films. I'm like, yes, call the college film department. They're always looking for kids.
Yep.
register there. Even pretty much every town has local agencies where, you know, they do regional commercials. It's not just L.A. and New York now. A lot of my students have Atlanta agents and Chicago agents, and they're flying, you know.
Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, they'll work as a local hire, so they pay their own flight, but sometimes it's worth it. And they're find the sites that post open calls. Disney does it. Nick does it.
They do. As you said, they cast a wide net, especially when they're looking for, you know, an important role. They're going to beat the bushes until they see the right person. That's good. And, you know, there's also community theaters in just about every town.
Yep.
And you, if you are fortunate and you have some good directors and you really might there, you could get some pretty good training at your local community theater and do a lot of learning by doing, which is what Dove did. You know, there's always something.
There's always something.
Yeah.
And for taped auditions, do it right. Again, do it right. Get a coach. Probably get a coach from L.A. or New York.
It's
because
different. Yeah.
It is different.
And you can do that. That's what Skype is for.
Yep.
And you teach and coach
for
Skype.
I do.
Okay, that's important. That's important.
I wasn't doing a commercial. It wasn't necessarily for me, but it is important because I see tapes done by, you know, acting teachers in small towns who've never left the small town. And just, they're good actors. They're wonderful people. I think it's great. But they don't necessarily know the ins and outs of an audition tape, that what it should look like to be seen for a project here.
Different set of expectations.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to mention that because we've been talking, you know, most of the way through about, you know, the actor's circle and what you do there at the studio here in Los Angeles. And I think it's important to know, especially if people get excited about, you know, what you're up to, that they don't necessarily have to be in LA here to have access to you.
No, absolutely not.
That's exciting. I love technology that way. Any final thoughts for young actors or parents of young actors hoping to make a career in film and TV?
Enjoy your life every step of the way. Everybody is on a different path. It happens for some people really quick, and then sometimes it happens for somebody a few years down the road. Doesn't mean you're any better or any worse. It's just the way it is. Did you watch the Emmys this year?
I wasn't able to.
When Henry Winkler won his first Emmy ever, I cried my eyes out. I was so emotional. We all have a different path. And sometimes your life will get, your auditions will dry up. It will get slow. Just keep getting better. Just keep working on your acting. You never know what tomorrow holds.
I cried when I found out that Henry Winkler
won. Oh my gosh, I sobbed my eyes. Oh.
It was so beautiful.
I love that show, Barry. It's so good.
There's so much good stuff being done out there.
He plays a crazy acting teacher.
All right, now I have to chase it down. I adore Henry Winkler. He's, and somebody, a beautiful example of somebody who's been doing this for a very long time. And
hugely famous.
Massively.
He was the
Fonz.
He had some really quiet years. Mm-hmm. And now he's doing all kinds of amazing things again.
It's a beautiful renaissance. It's really inspiring.
So you never know. Entering into this business is challenging. There are great rewards. And just live a good life while you're doing it.
Because it's your life.
Exactly. And love your family and love your friends and continue to be interesting and follow interests and go to class and get better and don't let your emotional happiness be dependent on what auditions you had this week.
Oh.
You will be better when you walk in the room because you won't have an air of desperation. You'll just be cool.
That is, please, everybody listening to this, take that one to heart. Just fold that into your heart. That's wonderful advice.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marcy. Before I let you go, would you like to read to us where people can find you?
Oh, look, you really printed it up. I don't even have my reading glasses, but
I can read
it
for you.
Know. You can, our website, www.theactorscircle.com, Instagram @theactorscircle, Twitter, At the Actor Circle. Now, Facebook's a little tricky.
Right? There's always the tricky one.
I know. At the Actor Circle, Culver City. We are located in Culver City.
Okay. Actually. Which is a part of Los Angeles.
Yes. Near Sony.
Near Sony. Conveniently located. Thank you so much, Marcy.
This was such a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, take a second and subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up at the bottom of the homepage. You'll get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. Don't miss it. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one help that will save you thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, invest in a consultation session with me over the phone, Skype, or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. In a single session, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. I work with parents who want to help their child become a happy, successful actor, and I can help you. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.